and welcome to A Drummer's Guide To. This is the podcast that is all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician aside from actually playing your instrument. I am Emily Dolan-Davies. I am a drummer by trade, and today I want to share with you this concept of kind of finding your own superpowers within yourself. I was talking to a friend last night and they were saying to me, "You've got loads of superpowers." And I was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, I mean, I make a mean Cornish pasty. Now, someone who does not ever toot her own horn, because it makes me incredibly uncomfortable, I will say that I do know how to make a mean Cornish pasty. It's been one of my life's goals, and I managed to achieve it last year, I think. And now, consequently, all my family are like, "So we're running low on Cornish pasties." We've all got a contingency amount in our freezers just in case. So it's great though for birthdays and Christmases, and like Father's Day and Mother's Day or whatever. It's really a pretty good skill to have when you have a family that loves food and Cornish pasties particularly. But anyway, but I really liked this concept. We carried on talking and I realised that there are things that, you know, I'm going to consider superpowers in the context of this episode, only because, like I say, it makes me so uncomfortable to kind of say that I'm good at anything, because and I'll sort of explain why, because it kind of all feeds into this idea of having superpowers, because I do think that we all have strengths that we, if we know how to harness them and play to them, maybe literally and figuratively, I think you kind of just end up leaning into areas that come quite naturally to you. And yeah, I just think it's an interesting concept. Now, why I call them sort of superpowers is not just because I think that is going to be the thing that might make you stand out, but what goes with that is this idea of the fact that they're not necessarily inherently good things. And in the same way that, let's look at Superman. Now, let me preface this by saying that I am not that au fait in the whole sort of superhero world. My knowledge of superheroes comes from the 90s, so you give me Superman, give me Batman, who else was kicking about then that I was watching? I don't even know, but that's my realm, so please don't talk to me about Avengers or stuff like that. I've seen the films, they're fine. I think Iron Man 3 is quite funny because of the writer Shane Black, who also did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I rewatched the other day and is a very funny film. Well, I find it funny. I just like that kind of humour. It's silly. It's silly and I enjoy it. Anyway, so yeah, when I'm talking about sort of, when I'm referencing superheroes, it's going to be from the 90s. Now, let's take Superman as an example. So he has all these superpowers, but within him, he also has this kryptonite issue. So if there is kryptonite around, he is not the man for you. So I think it's the same with finding your own internal superpowers, as it were. At least it has been for me. I kind of, like I say, this all sparked after this conversation last night, and I just thought, yeah, do you know what? The very things that I think are my greatest strengths are also my greatest weaknesses, and it's just how I work with that and how I channel that that is the important thing and that makes the difference. So I thought by sharing this, maybe this will resonate with you as well, and maybe you would be able to look at the things where you kind of naturally lean towards, the things that you naturally lean towards that could be considered your superpowers, even if right now it may feel like your kryptonite, if that makes any sense whatsoever. And if it does, hello, we can be friends. This is my brain, it works in a very strange way, but it's fine. So I'm just going to run you through some of mine, and if I think of any on the way, then I'll sort of go, oh, maybe it could be this, because you know me, stream of consciousness, it's how I roll. So for me, I sort of like tried to distill it down to three sort of top superpowers. Oh, see, I'm awkward even saying that. It just doesn't feel, it feels a bit too, look how great I am. I'm a charlatan. No, I'm just a person. So, okay, here's something Here's a trait that I have that is great, a trait that is great and also very difficult sometimes. So the first one for me is hyperfocus. This is something that I think I've always had. I don't know. I really don't know. But I've certainly become more aware of it in the last, I don't know, 10 years? Something like that. Maybe longer. I don't know. As you can tell, I've obviously had it for a long time. Now, this is... I'm so grateful for this trait. So it just means that whatever I'm doing, I am doing that one thing and nothing else kind of infiltrates my thoughts. And that's if I choose to, because, and I'll explain why I say choose to, because this hyper-focus thing, it is, I'm so grateful. It's phenomenal for like getting stuff done. When I'm in that mode, I just keep going. Now, this is brilliant for getting projects done, for, you know, when there's a deadline, when there's a goal, whatever. It's amazing and I'm so happy. But what goes with hyperfocus is the fact that I literally give every ounce of my concentration, my energy to whatever I'm doing. Sorry, these birds outside have suddenly gotten very loud. They want to come and chime in. I don't know whether you can hear them, but I don't know. Anyway, it's brilliant for getting stuff done. However, because I'm putting all of my energy into it, all of a sudden, after a period of time, and for me it's usually, I think it's like 4 hours for me, where I lose time, I really do, I suddenly hit a wall. And it's not like a wall like, oh, I'm a bit tired now. It's like pure exhaustion, like I cannot do anything else. I feel physically sick. I am so drained of everything that I have that I cannot function for the rest of that day. And so that is kind of the kryptonite side of this brilliant, what I think is a brilliant kind of trait, a useful trait, not brilliant, let's say useful. It's very useful. And it, like I say, it's great because it gives me high turnout of content and work. And if I'm learning a set or you know, some songs or whatever, it's so good. But I have to be aware that it will burn me out very quickly. By quickly, I mean like in 4 hours. So what I have to do is I have to kind of harness that superpower, if you were, does that make sense? This superpower, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, I try to harness that by putting restrictions on myself. So I know that if I indulge in using this, the cost to me will be pure exhaustion. So how I deal with that is either I accept the kryptonite side of this, and what that means is, right, once I've done this, the rest of the day I have to take off, I have to just stop, I have to rest, or even take the next day off, or even take the next couple of days off. I mean, when I tell you that it hits me hard, I cannot express how bad it is when I go over that threshold. The other way that I combat that is I set like time deadlines for myself. So rather than 4 hours, like I say, the 4 hour thing I'm just using as an example, because sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. It depends on how much energy I start out with. I mean, there's a lot of factors which I'm constantly learning about myself, and I just have to notice what's going on. So for instance, right now, obviously, I'm recording this episode. Now, I started sort of planning this and going for it maybe about 45 minutes ago. I know that once I finish recording this episode, I have to stop. I have to go for a walk. I have to change my environment. I have to, you know, just switch it up so that I give myself a rest. I could just straight away take all these files, put them into Final Cut, and just, you know, just keep going. And that would be fine. I would be able to do that. That wouldn't be a problem, but I do know that at the end of doing all that, which probably would hit around about 4 hours once everything's edited and the trailer and the podcast, like the audio and uploaded and da 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 da, I know at the end of that, forget about it. I'm done. Like, nah, I'm not doing anything for the rest of the day. But what I've worked out is that if I do have a break in the middle, like I say, I'll be going for a walk in the woods for an hour or so, and then showering and then have a nice lunch. So I take a couple of hours off. When I come back after my lunch, I'll be all right. I can then do the next couple of hours. That's fine. And then I will take another couple of hours off. And then I've got my boxing class this evening. So there's that. That is also something that I'm working towards. So I want to make sure I am not exhausted for that, because I am enjoying that so much right now. And yeah, I literally can't wait. It's so much fun. This is going to sound so strange. I have not... Oh, how do I phrase this? I have not found anything that I do just for fun since I first started playing the drums. Is that the right way of saying that? And of course, I decided I wanted to do this for my living when I was 14. I'd already sort of like decided I wanted to be good at it, so that kind of, it's not that it took the fun out of it, but it definitely changes the onus. With boxing, it's literally, I'm just doing it for fun. So I want you to hold me accountable. If you are listening to this, please don't let me take any, just please don't let me take boxing too seriously, please. Let me keep it as fun. Please hold me accountable for that, because it's really nice having something that you do just for fun. What a concept, what a concept. Again, this is my brain, and I guess that is a, is it a superpower? I don't know. It's not one that I sort of have thought about enough to start rambling on it. I probably should, could rather, but I won't put you through that. It's hard enough with my stream of consciousness. So anyway, hyperfocus. That is kind of the benefits and the kryptonite side of it. And just knowing that the limits that I have with it, I can really harness it, but I have to respect it, because if I don't, then, oh, it leads to all sorts of problems. And I've had, oh my God, I can't tell you how many bouts of burnout I've had. And often it will stem from exactly that, just doing too much, thinking, yeah, I'm really good at this hyper-focusing thing. I'm just going to hyper-focus all the time for like 10 hours a day. No, it can't work like that. There is a yin and a yang to everything in life. And that is the yin and the yang to that. This is also something that I'm realizing. There is nothing on this planet, I don't think, that doesn't have what is that? Is it cost benefit? Is that even the right thing? Where it has a benefit and a cost to that benefit. I can't think of a single thing that doesn't have that balance of sort of like a positive and a negative, and it's just making sure that the positive outweighs the negative and long term and all of that. So anyway, that's hyperfocus. That's my first superpower, as I'm trying to say, as it were. So the second one for me is planning. It's so sexy. I am the coolest person ever. So yeah, another one of my superpowers is my ability to plan. And what I mean by that is kind of having a goal in mind and then creating a plan around it, a plan for execution, a plan for taking action on it, hopefully every day. That's the ideal. But again, that's so weird. I just sent my friend's name, Adil, who I have not seen for so long. Hi, Adil, on the off chance that you're listening to this. Anyway, I can't even remember what I was saying. Sorry. So maybe stream of consciousness would be a good one. I don't know whether that's a superpower or just annoying, but yeah, it takes me into some strange places. So planning. I am very good at taking a goal and just breaking it down into actionable steps. I've done it for a long time. I didn't even realize I was doing it, I don't think, until probably in the last sort of, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something like that, where I realized that the best way for me to do anything is to literally chunk down whatever that goal is into very small steps. I've currently got a whiteboard over here that has my current goal, which right now, as of filming this, I'm 5 weeks out from teaching at the Drummer's Odyssey Camp in Bristol. It's the weekend of the 14th and 15th of October, so if anyone's down that way or in the UK and wants to travel, I think there's a couple of spaces left. There's 3 teachers on it. It's me, Matty Brown, who I love, and Jost Nickel, who I have not met yet, but he seems like a super cool dude. Can't wait to meet him, hang out. Basically, yeah, it's 2 days of lessons with the three of us for 2 hours each, and then like a Q&A. There's a hang in the evening. We go for drinks. It's going to be great. It's just going to be a weekend of chatting drums, me teaching you some stuff. Obviously, Matty and Jost also teaching you some stuff, and it's going to be awesome. But the point is, putting together something like that, and a sort of a teaching syllabus, as it were, like just putting together something that I want to teach this group of people in a coherent and kind of impactful way. I want to give as much as I physically can. It's quite an ordeal, because starting out, it's just like, oh my goodness, what in the, like, there's so many things that I want to teach and say, and so many concepts, and so, like, the way to say it, and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a lot, it's overwhelming. So for me to be able to have the skill of just, right, okay, I'm just going to make a plan, I'm going to stick to it, I'm going to just do all the things that I need to do, and by the end of sort of ticking off this list, I will have this these 2 days of teaching, basically. And that is such a useful skill. It's how I learn sets, like songs and stuff. Again, coupled with the hyperfocus, really useful. So I know that I have a very specific way that I learn songs really well, and that's just because I've done so much of it, and I've sort of got together a plan that works for me. And I think that that's, I don't know, it's a really, it's definitely one of my superpowers. It keeps me in check, it keeps me on track. It's useful for things like doing episodes like this. You know, every one of these is planned out, every one of these has a checklist that happens for every episode when it comes right from the sort of like planning stages right until the posting stages. There is a list, and whether that's in my head or physically, irrelevant. It's all about planning for me, and that's how I know that things will always get done. It's the same with Drum Stem Club. There is a list, and I have just worked out the best way that I execute that plan. Now, what I will say as well with that, so the kryptonite side of that, is that when I get inspired, which I do, and I get really excited, which I do, which you've seen, I get excited a lot about stuff. I have a tendency to get really excited, brainstorm something, start writing out loads of stuff. And then when I start looking to go and plan it, I may plan it, I may chunk it down into the tiny steps, but I also will often get overwhelmed just by looking at it on a bit of paper, as it were. I mean, sometimes it's a Google Doc, sometimes it's a whiteboard, whatever. When I look at it, it does overwhelm me, and I'm like, this is too much. And there's still a project that I have not finished, because it's not finished. There's still so many things to be done. And in all honesty, I don't think I'm ever going to finish it. And it's a shame. It was a video series about just skills as a professional musician. Even thinking about it right now, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. There are so many videos that I have already recorded. There's so much information in there. I'm sure I'll repurpose it at some point. But I started doing that 4 years ago. Still haven't finished. It was recorded in the old studio. I haven't finished recording all the videos, so that in itself, because of my what's the word? In fact, this is a really good thing to sort of segue into. So the other kryptonite part is that I'm not great when there's curveballs that come into my plan. I can deal with them, it's fine, and I do. But my initial reaction is really, I get really frustrated. I was going to say angry. It's not angry. It's frustrated. Like, just, because I have my plan and someone's just thrown a spanner in the works. So the spanner in the works with that course, that series, that video series of professional skills, was that now that I've moved studios, the consistency in filming in the old studio and the new one doesn't work for my brain. And again, it's ridiculous, but it does come down to that kind of planning thing. The other thing is, because I plan so meticulously and I prepare so meticulously for everything that I do, I feel very resentful when, for instance, I work with people that don't, that are not as prepared as I am, because I have so much, I put so much value on being prepared for any situation that I'm in, you know, especially when it comes to work. If I'm being paid to do something, I am going to do the best job I physically can. And if there's someone in the team that does not have that same sort of resolve, drive, approach, I find that difficult. I find that so difficult. And even recently, I heard about someone that just came into a situation and just didn't plan for it at all. And it's just like, how can you not? How can you not? It's disrespectful to me. It's really disrespectful to me. And yet that person is very successful. And it, you know, things work out. And yes, it, you know, I know that the situation that happened was not ideal. It was noticed and, it was noticed and there were repercussions. But in the bigger picture, they're fine. They're fine. They're working. They're successful. People are asking them to do more work. So I feel genuinely resentful. And that's a hard thing for me to admit to you right now. And I don't like negative feelings towards anyone. And it's only a part of my feeling towards them. Like, I actually really adore them. Like, I really do. I think they're lovely. And do you know what it is? In all honesty, it's jealousy. It's jealousy that I can't have just a bit of that. I would love to be able to just have an element of kind of relaxation around it, I guess, or like just seeing what happens, or just not having to plan all the little things and think about all the things that could go wrong and make a plan for if they do. It's exhausting. It's exhausting, but it is my natural default setting. It is. And I can't kind of, it's not that I can't change that. Part of me is proud to be like that. Although I'd love a bit more of the kind of, everything will be fine. I'd love to have a bit more of that. I don't. It's not in my nature. It's not in my bones. I kind of have to accept that. I kind of do. But again, these feelings of like, oh, I wish I had a bit of that. They still do come around. And that's fine. It's kind of, I always just hark back to, okay, where am I right now? What am I doing? Am I happy? Yes, I am. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than right here, right now. So therefore, it must be working to some degree. So it's kind of fine. It's kind of fine. It's just one of those things that I have to kind of deal with and breathe. Whenever I sort of, there are many people that I happen across that I'm like, oh my God, how are you not prepared? But I just, okay, breathe. It's fine. That's their decision, and maybe that's their superpower, is that they can be relaxed about this stuff and their fluidity of being able to just deal with it as it comes up. That's an amazing skill. That's what I'm jealous of. I think it's awesome. Whereas when I'm thrown a curveball, you know, there is an initial reaction of like, oh, and then I deal with it, because again, I'm really good at like planning and problem solving, and you know, I'll make it work. It's my motto for life, like just make it work. That's all that matters, just make it work. So anyway, that I'd say is my second superpower, but again, it does have its kryptonite. You know, planning is great when you're in control, but inevitably you can't be in control. Not really. Not, this is what I'm realizing. Not really. You can kind of feel like you are to a degree, but anything can happen. Anything can happen. So you just got to roll with it. Difficult. Very difficult. And then my third one that I think is my superpower is empathy, I think. I think it is. And being able to connect with people, I think. I hope. Because, yeah, well, it's one of my favourite things to do. I don't know whether that means that I'm any good at it, but I see, I don't know, it's a funny thing. It's one of my favourite things. And I think it comes quite naturally to me, I think. You can tell me something different. Maybe I've got this all wrong about myself, but in my experience, I enjoy and I find it fairly easy, I think, to kind of connect with someone, learn about them. I'm the kind of person that when I talk to someone, within about 5 minutes, I've already got some really interesting information about that person, their life, what they like, what they dislike. It's not foolproof. Obviously, some people are very closed. That's fine. I'm not like forcing people with a knife against their neck going, tell me something you love in life. Like, well, maybe I am that person metaphorically, but yeah, I just, it's something that I enjoy. It's something that comes very naturally to me. Now, this is useful in terms of work, because that is my number one way of kind of, oh, there's a cobweb here. That's my number one way of connecting to music, to musicians, to whatever I'm playing, to whatever I'm recording, whether I'm on tour or whatever else, and just getting on with people generally. It's a really, really useful thing, skill. I'm not sure, could you count that as a skill? I wonder if you could, I'm sure you could develop empathy. I've never thought about this, whether it's something that is inherent. I'm sure it isn't. I'm sure you can develop it. But yeah, I just think it's a really useful skill for me for, like I say, locking into someone's story, whether that's through song, whether that's connecting with musicians or artists and just having a conversation. I'm talking about when you're in the tour bus and you're traveling around and you're sitting around for like 22 hours a day and, you know, just spending all your life with complete strangers at the beginnings of tour potentially. And then you sort of get to know them and yeah, they become your family. It's a really, really useful thing. And I'd say it's probably the strongest of my superpowers, as it were. But again, this has implications. This has inherent kryptonite qualities in that because I am so empathetic to people, I really connect into their emotions, their feelings, their experiences. And I take them on a lot, and that can be very draining. And again, it's partly down to this hyper-focus thing as well. When I'm talking to someone, I am talking to you. That is it. We are here. I want to know. I want to feel the things that you feel. I want to just understand your experience of life because people fascinate me. They really do. But what comes with that is I do take on the emotions and the feelings of people's experiences. And that, again, can be quite draining. I spoke about it before on an episode about staying present when you're on stage or when you're recording. And my number one way of staying present is to lock into the emotions of a song. And there is an element of empathy that comes with that and an empathy towards the song. And that can drain you. It is exhausting. It is like living someone else's life for 3.5, 4, 5 minutes. It's wonderful, it's beautiful, I love it, I wouldn't change it for the world. I love that I'm able to do that. But at the end of a gig, sometimes, I am so emotionally drained, I just collapse. I'm just like, I need to go to bed, like, this is too much. Maybe I'll have a whiskey and then I'll just go to bed because I'm just like, yeah, it's just not great. There's also another side to being empathetic towards other people that I have found recently that I didn't realize is that I wouldn't say it's a kryptonite, but it's just something that I realized is worth mentioning. By focusing on other people's experiences, emotions, connecting to that, really being inside of that, I've realized that actually, in some ways, it's been a way to avoid facing my own emotions, if that makes sense. Be empathetic to yourself too, Emily. I'm talking to myself right now. It's not ideal. It's something that I'm working on. It's horrible and scary and I don't like it, but it's good. I feel like I'm growing. It's very hard, these feeling all the emotions thing. Really good at trying to feel all the positive emotions and, well, I say trying, yeah, like trying to be happy and joyful and da-da-da-da-da, which is what I thought you were always meant to be, and if you felt anything but that, you were failing. Turns out, no. If you feel all those other negative feelings, that's just called being human. Didn't know that until recently. So now I'm trying to feel all the negative ones as well. It's horrible. It's horrible. Humaning is hard. Humaning is very hard. But anyway, so that's kind of, I'd say that those are my three sort of superpowers, if you like, and I hope that one of them has resonated with you. I think the way to kind of like find your superpower is just like notice where you naturally lean. Notice how you naturally deal with things, and just see how that can be harnessed in such a way. Because, like, you know that saying from Spider-Man? There you go, there's another one that I have a point of reference. I don't actually like Spider-Man. I don't know why, it's just never resonated with me. Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. I think, to sort of add to that, with great power with great power comes great responsibility to yourself. And it's about harnessing whatever those things are that come naturally to you to serve you. Like, let them serve you, but notice the implications as well, and kind of take those into account. Take those into account too, and plan for those. Well, you don't have to plan for those. That's my thing, planning. But yeah, I think just kind of, it's about noticing these things, and then seeing how you can channel them in a way that can become some of your greatest strengths. I just think it's really useful. And this is the other thing. Those are my three. They don't have to be your three. You don't even need three. You can have just one thing that you just think, yeah, actually, do you know what? That comes naturally to me. I enjoy that, or I'm very good at that. Now, I know that, like, there'll be people listening to this going, well, I'm really good at playing video games, so how can I harness that? There are ways. I spoke in a previous episode about gamification. If you're really good at sitting and playing video games, think about why you love playing video games, why that action comes naturally to you. And inherently there will be reasons of the way that the game is structured, in terms of, like, maybe you're achieving badges, or, you know, there's a myriad of things. And if you want to look into that a bit further, then go listen to that episode. Or there's a book called The Gamification Octalysis, I think it's called. Really interesting book, just about how games are sort of made and make you want to play them more. But if you take those principles, you can bring them into your real life, as it were, and leverage them for your work or for your life, your health, your fitness, whatever. Like, there are ways of doing it. But I think it's just kind of like just noticing and transferring those skills or those natural leanings, as it were, into something that is maybe more productive if you want it to be. But yeah, like I say, just always be aware that there is a cost. There is a cost to everything. And noticing those, or realizing those, finding them out, and then sort of just accounting for that. I don't know, there's a particular word I'm searching for in my brain and it's not working. Maybe because it's Monday morning. Let's say that. But anyway, I hope that this has given you some sort of, or just something to think about maybe. And I'd love to hear what you feel your superpowers are, because I'm always fascinated to see all the different places that people go with this, and so we can all notice how different we are and what strengths we have in different areas, because it's so good, it's so interesting. And I think seeing other people's strengths sometimes will inspire you to go, oh, actually, yeah, I'm quite good at that too. Maybe I could use that in some way. So yeah, anyway, I'm going to go. If you have enjoyed this episode, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe. And if you would like to go the extra mile and help support this podcast, you now can over on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, you can offer up suggestions for topics over there. You can come join me on Zoom Hangs, and you will have my eternal gratitude, basically, if that means anything to you, if that's of any value to you. And then if you also want to see anything else that I do in this world, because there are many, many things that I do, you can go to EmilyDrums.com. That's where everything is. All the things, and will continue to be all the things. But anyway, I hope that you're keeping well and you're good wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and join me next time for another subject. All right, mwah, lots of love. See you later. Bye.